make you aware of. So we thank you for Phil, and we thank you for his passion and his desire to serve you, Lord. We thank you for the gifting and the grace that is upon his life, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you will, as you speak, as he speaks now, Lord, that we'd hear clearly your voice encouraging us to draw to you. Be with him, Lord. Holy Spirit, be upon him. Anoint him with power. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. I just want to thank the elders of the church and the leadership of the church for giving us this opportunity to share the word of God, and also the body of Christ, the church, for extending grace to us. And above all, we'd like to thank God for giving me the grace to stand before you. So we thank God. I'm really honored to share the word of God with you. As I was seated there, I just was thinking, and a story came to my head. It was about two donkeys, and they were in the field grazing. And one donkey said, "Johnny, can you believe that just yesterday people were singing praise as I walked down Jericho? I was carrying Jesus, and people were just throwing these palm leaves, and they were rejoicing, and I was like a celebrity. But today, nobody's even looking at me." And then the other donkey says, "My friend, that's the difference Jesus makes." Amen? Isn't it amazing that it's only Jesus? We are who we are because of Jesus. Without him, we're nothing. He can take us from the miry clay and bring us into his presence. I was so blessed that today we were talking about the presence of God, because that's the message the Lord has laid upon my heart. Can we just bow down our heads and pray, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we want to give you glory. We want to give you honor. We exalt your name. We lift your name high above every other name. We acknowledge your lordship in our lives. We thank you that you are the Son of God who came to save us. Thank you for your grace. I pray for divine alignment according to your will for each and every family and everyone who is under the sound of my voice this morning. Lord, you know where they are at. Thank you for your grace that you are able to meet them where they are and meet their needs. Your hand is not short that it cannot save. We glorify your name. We lift your name. Thank you, Lord, for making your word alive like a two-edged sword in my mouth. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the unction of the Holy Spirit to share your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Last year, we went to Africa. I know this story ties in with what the Lord has laid in my heart. We went to Africa, Linda and I. Linda left about 2 weeks before me, and we had a wonderful time in Africa. We're having crusades around Africa, around Zimbabwe. Souls were being saved. God was really gracious. People were being healed. And then I decided, after a few crusades, I said, "Oh, Linda, why don't we go away, just holiday resort, and just rest for a few days, because we've got other crusades that are lined up." We were only supposed to be in Africa for 3 weeks. And then it was a wonderful time until Linda fell sick. We had gone away for the first time. I was born in Africa, but for the first time in my life, I came within a meter to a lion. I mean, I've seen lions, but this was exactly a meter, and there was just a fence between us. And I had never seen how huge that thing is. No wonder why they call it the king of the jungle. I mean, it stood, and its shoulders were probably this high, and its head was like close to my eyes, like that. And I was trying to stay calm, and you know, and I didn't want to hold Linda's hand because I didn't want it to know that my hand is shaking. And so it rolled. The ground shook. I mean, I see them on TV, but in real life, the mane was like that. And it rolled. The only thing that kept my bones from flying all over was my skin. The ground shook. Immediately I said to him, hey, let's just walk away. Let's go away. So we were so excited with all those things. But a day later, Linda had to be rushed in a hospital for an emergency operation. So all that excitement and everything that we had, the time we had enjoyed in Africa, went out the window. It was supposed to be a 30-minute operation. It ended up 8 hours, 30 minutes. We are on travel, on medical aid. They said they were not going to take the medical aid. We had to pay cash for it. To our surprise, the bill was $21,000, which is roughly £18,000. So that's the first hurdle. But praise the Lord, by His grace, He provided that. And we ended up getting the best doctor in the whole of Southern Africa operate on her. Thank God for that as well. Because what happened is that when she was on the operating table, Linda had to be resuscitated. They said that she died. There she is there today, and it's her birthday today. Praise the Lord. They had to resuscitate Linda on the operating table. She lost a lot of blood. And that was so traumatic. The time was just traumatic. It's during that time when I was panicking, there was a lot going on. I don't want to take much time with this story, though I know it's going to help us in the message the Lord has laid in my heart. It is during that time when I'm panicking and I don't know what's happening because I was not allowed to get into the theater. It is during that time that the Lord said to me, I am with you. I'm with you in all this. You are not alone. And I was told she needed blood. She had lost a lot of blood. And again, being in Africa, you have to be careful what blood you get, because most blood is contaminated. So I had to ask the doctor. I said, listen, you know, when you go through all this, I'm sure you can agree with me. All the Mr. Nice goes out of the window. You now, like, this is where the rubber hits the road. So the doctor comes to me, and then I said, okay, you want to give a blood? He says, yes. I said, before I sign this, you need to tell me your screening process. Because my wife and I, we live a clean life. We don't want to get any diseases. And he says to me, Pastor, Africa has the best blood. I said, I don't want to hear that. I want to know how you come to the conclusion of saying this blood is worth giving someone. And I said, you've got 5 minutes to explain this to me. And then in 3 minutes, he explained to me. I said, okay, fine. This is what I'm going to do. I'll sign and you will be the witness. Because, you know, I mean, when I look at it, I'm like, I can't believe I said that. But I did. I said, because if something happens to her or me, I'm going to come after you. I'm going to come after your pets. I'm going to come after everything you've got, everything in your house. You should have just seen his face when And I couldn't believe what was coming out of my mouth, but I was speaking it. And he says, I will sign. And he signed. Anyway, when Linda came out of the theater, Linda was gray. She was unresponsive. I was standing by the door of the theater because I was not allowed to go in. I saw someone being wheeled out of the theater. Unresponsive, gray, head swollen. And I said, oh, this is me. I was pacing up and down. And I said, oh, poor soul, this is me. I said, oh, poor soul, I better pray for that person. So just as I opened my mouth to pray for whoever that person is, I saw on the bed where it was written, Linda Banda. My goodness, I felt as if the rag under my feet was pulled out. I mean, it was just like I wanted to collapse. That's when again I heard the Lord saying, I'm with you. She had fibroids. They thought it was a cyst, 4.8 centimeters. When they operated on her, when they started operating through the keyhole operation, they realized she had four fibroids. Two of them were the size of a dinner plate. How that can happen, only God knows. And they had to cut them in half to bring them out. And when they were cutting them, they were the size of a cup, teacup. During that process, she lost a lot of blood. But what I want to say is this. In all that, God was with us. I could not contact anyone because I dropped my phone, lost contact numbers, and it seems like the devil knew that I was going to go through that and it cut me off through all the people that could have prayed with me. And thank God, 2 days later, we managed to get hold of Pastor Simon and Karen, and they were joining us in prayer, and we thank God for that. And here we are today. So today I want to share with you the title of the message that I believe the Lord has laid upon my heart. Because this was born out of this adversity, out of this challenge. This message is close to me. This message it's reality, it's truth to me. And I believe to Linda, God in the midst of crisis. God in the midst of crisis. I would like to read the word of God from the book of Matthew, chapter 14. If you may turn there with me, please. Reading from verse 22. Praise the Lord. Verse 22 through to verse 32. Immediately, if I may start reading, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. May God bless the reading of his word. Throughout scripture, we see men and women who were in crisis. We see Moses, by the Red Sea, with the children of Israel with him. They have just defeated Pharaoh, and now they are walking out of Egypt, and they have just come in front of the Red Sea. They can hear the hooves of the horses of Pharaoh's soldiers coming. So there are soldiers coming, and the Red Sea. That's crisis. We also see Joshua at Jericho. He's faced with this wall. And the wall of Jericho was a fortified one, to the extent that on the wall, if you look in history, you'll find that on the wall, they could build a house on top of the wall. That's why Rahab's house was on the wall. That's how wide that wall was. He's faced with this crisis, and God says, this is going to come down. That's a serious crisis. You're not going to use hammers, but you're going to just shout, and it will come down. That's a serious crisis. It takes a lot of faith. We also see King David faced with Goliath. This is a national crisis. For 40 days and nights, Goliath is challenging the children of Israel. Bring me a man who can fight me. That's crisis. We also find Paul and Silas in prison. When in Acts chapter 16, when they were worshiping and the gates were flung open and the earth shook as they were worshiping, they were in this prison. This was crisis. They'd been beaten and thrown in prison. We also find the same Paul in Acts chapter 27 on the voyage to Rome and is caught in this shipwreck and the ship is just destroyed. Again, that's crisis. With all this, scripture tells me in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, all these things were written for our learning. That's what the Bible says. All things that were written in scripture, they were written for our learning, that with patience and comfort, we might find hope. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So all the things we read in the Word of God were written for my learning, our learning, that when we go through these things, we know these things are not strange to us. So today, I would like to share with you 5 points, but I would like to dwell on one, even if I just preach just 1 point today, just 1 point. Which is the most important one is the presence of God. The presence of God. The first point will be the presence of God, the power of God, the providence of God, the promise of God, and the purpose of God. The presence of God in our crisis. Now, I may get excited. I do usually get excited when I preach, so excuse me. I usually get excited when I preach the word of God. The Bible says, taste and see the word of the Lord is good. Hallelujah. We see Peter. He cried out. But let's look at the scenario here. Jesus had said to them, go to the other side. And they went while they were in the middle of the sea. The storm arose. They were on the mission. They obeyed the Lord. But a storm arose. And the wind was contrary. They were rowing and they could not go anywhere. While they are still, they've got this crisis, they looked and they saw someone walking on water. Oh my goodness, this is double trouble, because they thought this was a ghost. We are dealing with this. We don't want to die. But my goodness, I don't think they said, oh, there's a ghost. I think they said, the ghost! And Jesus said, it is I. Be of good cheer. Number one, what Jesus did was to announce his presence in the midst of their trouble. He announced his presence in the midst of their crisis. That is enough that I am here. I am Jehovah Shammah. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am Jehovah Shalom. I am Jehovah Elohim. Everything is all right. I am now with you in this crisis. For I said I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am here with you. Don't worry about the storm. There's still the storm. The sea is raging, but I am here. I am here with you. Now, if you look at the word be of good cheer, it actually means, in its original, it means take courage. Take courage. I'm now here. Be courageous. I'm now here. Everything will be all right. Isn't it amazing that the very same thing that was about to destroy them, when Jesus showed up, Peter started walking on it. Hallelujah. When God comes, when his presence comes, whatever is troubling you, he gives you power over that thing because he is God. Hallelujah. If you agree with me, just say praise the Lord. And he said, it is I. Take courage. Do not be afraid. Now, I have wondered throughout my life as a pastor. I'm 44 years old, became a Christian when I was 10, and became a full-time minister when I was 19. I've always wondered why we always, out of all the days of the week, we are busy Monday to Friday. Saturday, that's the only time we have with the children to do work at home, spend time with our children. And Sunday, we choose to take that day to go to church. What revelation do we have that most of the world don't have? In my time, as we go preaching and ministering, sometimes we are put up in a hotel. As we are coming out of the hotel to get ready to go to church, we find people coming out of their hotel rooms with their golf clubs, wearing their shorts, and say, hey, Johnny, it's a good day for golfing, and I am getting ready to go to church. I'm seeing people who are stuck in traffic going to church. What is it about going to church, going in the presence of the Lord, that is so important? Hallelujah. What is it that out of all the time, we hardly have enough time in the week, but we still find time to come to church? What is it? Because there's something about the presence of God, that when I am in the presence of God, I can deal with any crisis. When I get in the presence of God, everything that I'm going to face during the week, I am already empowered. I am prepared. I have strength to deal with my challenges. Did you know that everything else comes from the presence of God? Healing comes from the presence of God. Peace comes from the presence of God. Joy comes from the presence of God. All the things that people are looking for, they are in the presence of God. I like it in the Word of God when Moses said In Exodus chapter 33, verse 14 to 15, he said to God, if your presence will not go with us, we are going nowhere. Why was the presence of God more important to Moses and the children of Israel? Because they had seen what God had done to the superpower of that time, Egypt. Within a matter of weeks, it had been brought down to its knees by this mighty God, this powerful God who is more than enough, who is all powerful. And he said, from here, I'm not going to go anywhere from this time unless you go with me, because I know I'll face challenges. I know I'll face enemies. I know I'll face the Canaanites. I'll face the Jebusites, the Amalekites, the Philistines. And if you don't go with us, we will go nowhere. The presence of God. On the same note, and I mean this with a humble heart. Church is not a social club. Church is not a social club. We socialize, we meet friends, we meet great people, we meet wonderful people, and praise the Lord, those people are great because of God. Those wonderful people are great. Our fellowship is great because of God. But church, going to church and not meeting with God, and not being in the presence of God, is like you being, or me, being invited to an important event where there's an important person there, and you don't get to meet that person. When we come to fellowship, you know, let me say this. When my wife and I came to Eden Church, and I'm not just saying because I'm here or I'm preaching today. I've said it over and over. I've even said it to Simon. I've said it to Paul before. The thing that made us stay was the atmosphere that was being cultivated for the presence of God. The moment we walked in, we were 10 minutes late our first day. But we just walked into the presence of God. I looked at my wife and said, whoa, wow, amazing songs. But beyond those amazing songs, there was that atmosphere where you can sense the presence of God. You can sense God is here. That's what church is about. When we usher people to God, when we usher people into the presence of God, because the Bible says, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Wow. In the presence of God, there is life. Oh, praise the Lord. Everything we need, everything we will ever need, comes from the presence of God. So when we come into his presence, all my fears are washed away. All my worries, that's where the weak are made strong. All throughout the week, I've been battling with challenges. I'm almost worn out. And when I get into the presence of God, I am renewed. When I get into the presence of God, I am empowered. When I get into the presence of God, I am strengthened in my faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I walk out of the church, I'm ready to face the new week, because I have been in the presence of God. Oh, sorry, I'm getting excited here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God is a wonderful God. The presence of God. I need to check my time. How am I doing for time? Amen. Amen. Presence of God. as the children of God, we should desire the presence of God. Like the prayer we had. But you know, I mean, I was so amazed that it's true. We may have time for everything else. Sometimes we forget to seek God. That's so true. The presence of God. The presence of God. If God is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? If God is for us, when we have gone into His presence and we are full of His presence, you know, while I'm still there, I like it when I go to parties. You know, you get a glass of drink, a Coca-Cola, okay, to be precise, I love Coca-Cola. And when they fill it up, we say it's full. But there's this much left. But in reality, the glass is not full. It's what we call sociably full. So that I'll be able to socialize without spilling. So the glass is sociably full. I don't want to be, when I get in the presence of God, to be sociably full. I want to be filled with His presence to overflowing. I want God to fill me, my heart, my spirit, my personality, my being, that when I walk out of the presence of God, I am full of God. The Bible says when they saw the apostles, and they said these guys were not educated. They were uneducated. But they saw one thing, that they had been with Jesus. They saw that they had been with Jesus. They had been in the presence of Jesus. They had been with Him. Brothers and sisters, I believe as a church, we are walking in the right direction, seeking the presence of God. In our worship, I mean, it has to be intentional. In our worship, in our everyday life, in reading the Word of God. Because when you are in trouble, you know God has been preparing you for this. What is faith anyway? Faith, I mean, when you have faith, if you look throughout the Bible, if you look at faith, faith deals with mountains. Whoever has faith, if you have faith and speak unto this mountain, it will be moved. Well, faith deals with challenges and mountains. But we get our faith when we stay in the presence of God. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Somehow, on the contrary, the world, the church at large, is drifting to a point where we are saying, if you are a Christian, you have no challenges. You have enough faith to stop those things from happening. And we may look at people that have lost a loved one, that are struggling with cancer, that are struggling with certain diseases, and say, you have no enough faith. No, no, no. Faith deals with those things, yes. But many are the afflictions of the righteous. Hallelujah. So when we are walking with God righteously, we are walking with God, we'll find a lot of challenges in this life. Why? Because the devil doesn't want us to be victorious. The devil doesn't want us to win. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. Amen? I asked a group of pastors at a conference, and I said, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. And they said, yeah. And I said, how many of you think you are conquerors? They said, yeah. And I said, I have a question for you. There were about 150 pastors at a conference. And I said, how are you a conqueror if there's nothing to conquer? There has to be something to conquer, for you and I to become conquerors through Jesus Christ. So Peter walked on water.
And as he was about to sink, he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." And immediately God saved him, because he was in the presence of God. When we are in the presence of God, brothers and sisters, when we are about to sink, he will lift us up. He will lift us above the thing that is about to make us drown. He will lift us and he will walk with us back to safety. That's why it is important to be in the presence of God. We know the enemy comes. It does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, "I came that you may have life and life more abundantly." He's talking to people who are alive, who have life. But what Jesus was saying here, he was saying to them, you have life. This kind of life you have is the one that keeps you from being buried to go to the grave. That's called suki. The physical life called suki. But I came that you may have the God kind of life, zoe. The God kind of life. The eternal life. This year you get it when you are with me and you are in my presence. You stay in my presence. Then, hallelujah, you live victoriously. I want to wind down. I looked at King David. King David said, "I will fear no evil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord." I asked myself, I said, why would he say, "I'll dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life"? While I was still thinking that, another verse came again. When he said, "One thing that I desire and that I will seek," in Psalm 27. "Is that I may dwell in the house of God." And I was like, whoa. What was drawing him from wanting to be in the house of God? Then he also said, "I would rather be a doorkeeper at the house of God than to dwell with wickedness." And I was like, this man had some revelation that we are missing somewhere. Then I found it out that in Psalm 92, it says, "They that are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish. They will bear fruit even in old age." Whoa. There's something about being in the presence of God. There's something in cultivating the presence of God. He will turn a mess into a message. He will turn a test into a testimony. He will turn a trial into triumph. He will take a victim into a victor. He will take a strain into strength. This is why we should get into the presence of God. This is why, as the children of God, we should always desire the presence of God. As I close, I just wanted to say, what should bring us in the presence of God? Desperation and need. God is a father. As a father, when we see our children needing something, we provide. We come to them. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, if there's anything that I've said, it's okay to forget. But I pray that you would not forget that as human beings, as children of God, what's very important to us is being in his presence. Whatever comes my way, whatever comes your way should come and meet you while you are in the presence of God. Even if we are coming from burying a loved one, It should happen while we're in the presence of God, because we'll deal with that loss better than when we are alone. We cannot go through this life alone. I want to leave this time to Pastor Simon. If it's okay, just to reach out to get into his presence again for a few minutes. And allowing God to meet us at our point of need. He knows our challenges. Sometimes we are so practical as human beings, which is natural to us, because we are people of flesh. It's natural to us to be caught up in our bills, caught up in our challenges, caught up in everything around us, that we forget that there's someone who can help us. There's someone who can sort this one out the moment we get in his presence. Sometimes we have put everything in place, but it's not working. There's something missing. Maybe it's the presence of God. Get in his presence. The time the Lord said, I'm with you, I felt that everything was sorted out. I just felt everything was sorted out. I just felt it was sorted out. Though I was looking at Linda unresponsive, lost color, she's gray, but somehow I got peace. Now I knew I'm not in this battle alone. I stopped panicking because I knew he's with me in this storm, in this crisis. There are some things that no doctors can do for you and me. There are some things that medicine cannot do for me. As wonderful as medicine is, sometimes it just takes God being there. Being there. And sometimes just him being there, you can start thinking straight and seeing opportunities that you never saw, because we were caught up in the pain, in the panic. And when he's there, we are calm. You begin to see that it's actually, it might not be as bad as it is. There's actually hope. May God bless you this morning. Whatever you are going through, whatever challenge, they could be relational, financial, private storms. Invite him. Invite him. Go in his presence. Take that. Let's not look at the God and say, God, do you see how big my problem is? But when you are in the presence of God, you begin to say, problem, do you see how big my God is? Because he's always greater than any problem we can ever have. May God bless you this morning. I want to hand over to Pastor Simon. Thank you.
Let's invite the band to come up and just allow the Lord to minister through this time. We're going to invite them to lead us in a song, and just an opportunity to respond to what the Lord has been saying. And he wants us. I started off by saying he wants us. You're wanted. You're needed.